May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our message for today is based on these words from the epistle reading. Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." This is our text. You may be seated. In 1857, a building called the Domus Galotiana was unearthed on the Palatine Hill, which is the central hill of the Seven Hills of Rome. This building was once the imperial palace of Emperor Caligula in the first century AD, and later became a boarding school for imperial page boys. Later on, the street that it was on was walled off to give support to the buildings above, and the building itself was sealed off for centuries. When it was unearthed, a piece of Roman graffiti was found scratched into the plaster on one of the walls of the room. No doubt one of the schoolboys. This graffiti was hand-drawn by someone with almost as little artistic ability as I have, and it depicted a cross with a man crucified on that cross, and the man had the head of a donkey. Next to the cross was another man standing with his arm raised up, looking at the cross. And written under the picture were the words, "Alexamenos worships his God." It seems that it was a common belief among Roman pagans that Jews, and thus Christians, worshipped a god that was in the form of a donkey. Romans also would have found it absurd that Christians would worship anyone who died on a cross, executed as a common criminal. Thus, this graffiti is apparently mocking a person named Alexamenos, a Roman Christian, who worshipped our crucified Lord, Jesus Christ. "The Jews demand signs, and the Greeks demand wisdom," Paul writes later on in 1 Corinthians, and it seems that things are really no different in our world today. People want proof of God. After all, we have science that tries to prove everything. Surely we can prove God through experiment and logic. People want proof of God in their life. "What has God done for me lately?" someone might ask. If God is really as good, is really as good and loving as he says he is, people want an explanation as to why there is so much evil and suffering in the world and why so much trouble happens in their own lives. If God's law is so perfect, why do I feel this way or that way in opposition to that law? If God is so powerful, why doesn't he fix this problem or that problem? People still want God to give them signs. They want to use human wisdom to figure God out, but we don't have that to give to them. We don't have all the answers to the world's questions, at least not answers that the world wants. We have only the word of the cross, which to the world today, as it was to the Romans, most of the Romans centuries ago, the word of the cross is folly. It is foolishness. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And goodness knows, we don't want to look foolish. We don't like it. You know, when you're having a conversation with someone about something you actually know nothing about, and you just try to hang in there and keep going so you don't look stupid. My graduate school advisor told us that his highest hope for us, for his students, was that we would learn enough from him to not look stupid when we went to computer science cocktail parties. We don't want to look dumb. And that is a temptation that Satan prods us with all the time. Look, it worked on Adam and Eve. He told them to eat of the tree so that their eyes would be opened and they would know good and evil, so they wouldn't be quite so stupid. Or what about Job? How foolish his trust in the Lord must have looked to his friends. And Satan knows that you and I don't want to look foolish either. You believe that God created the world in 6 days? ridiculous. You think that marriage is only between a man and a woman? Nobody thinks that anymore. You think God will forgive your sin? Do you remember what you did? You think a person can rise from the dead? That's not medically possible. Satan knows we don't want to appear foolish, so he subtly tries to point out how silly many things that God says appear to logic, to reason, to science, or to whatever ideology or philosophy we find ourselves up against. Where's the proof? Where's the sign supporting all these things that you believe, Christian? That's how Satan wants us to think. Consider the ministry of Jesus. Now, in our gospel reading, we hear about the beginning of that ministry. Jesus is going around and healing all the diseases and all the afflictions of the people. His fame is spreading. Great crowds are beginning to follow him. It looks like he has a pretty good formula worked out for a successful ministry. Oh, he's preaching and teaching too, but look at those signs. That's what people want in a Messiah. Give us another one, Jesus. But later in Jesus' ministry, as he is teaching more and more and the miracles start to taper off a little bit, the people start questioning Jesus' words. They say things like, "This is a hard saying. Who can believe it?" Many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him, until at the end, they are left with only one sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah, as Jesus says in Matthew, Jesus' own death and burial and resurrection on the third day. You could say they were left with only the sign of the cross, the sign of the empty tomb. That's it. That's the only sign that we really need. But this sign, this cross, is offensive. It is foolish to the world. To die on a cross is a fool's death, and everyone knows that life doesn't come from death. The cross defeated Jesus, and everyone knows that victory doesn't come from defeat. The cross means God hates sin, and everyone knows that people are really generally pretty good. At the cross, sin is forgiven, and everyone knows that sin isn't forgiven. No, you have to try a little harder, do a little better, be a little nicer. You just have to be a better person. I had an atheist friend in graduate school ask me one time, "Why do you Christians call it Good Friday? Didn't your God die that day?" Well, yes, he did. The cross is foolish. It is folly to those who are perishing, but it is not folly or foolishness to us who see in the cross of Jesus by faith the power of God, the wisdom of God. And so then it is in our lives as God's people that we reflect that foolishness of God. We believe things that others won't. We do things and say things that others won't. We abstain from things that others indulge in. We forgive people that don't deserve it as we have been forgiven. We love the unlovable even as we have been loved by our Heavenly Father. We put our time and our money into the proclamation of the gospel, into the care of this house of worship, and for the good of our brothers and sisters gathered here, which to many would seem like a waste of resources. We are indeed fools for God. Paul also tells us, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Now, Paul was a very well-educated person. He knew the Old Testament inside and out. And yet even he realized that he had no power in his own eloquent words to make anyone believe in Christ. He simply preached the cross. He simply preached the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The power to create faith comes from God, comes from the preaching and proclamation of Christ. The Holy Spirit does the work. And likewise, it's not our poorly chosen words or our stumbling over words that cause people to not come to faith or to not come to church for that matter. Like Paul, we don't always have amazing words or eloquent spiritual advice on the ready, on the tip of our tongue, but we know the gospel. We know that God can work through our seemingly foolish words to bring the message of Jesus to hearts that will receive it. So don't be worried about appearing foolish, because God's foolishness is greater than mankind's wisdom. Stand with Alexamenos and the early Christians, many of whom died for the foolishness of their faith. Be bold in your confession of who Jesus is and what he has done. The cross of Christ is the power of God, the power of God to forgive your sins, the power to strengthen your faith, the power to give you new life, the power to bring you to your heavenly home, the power to raise the dead. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.